Welcome to the Mostly Potted at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 182. Yes, that's 182 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. Now, another Olympics has come and gone, and we honor their host country with another round of Italian classics. This time we focus on the master of Italian horror, or sometimes called the master of the macabre himself, Mario Bava. We're focusing on his early 60s career this time around. I mean, he did a lot of early stuff in the 50s, but it was almost all Italian stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't really start doing, you know, crossover type things until the early 60s, and that's... These are probably his three most famous of his early career. He's done a lot of other stuff. We'll probably do more of these episodes at some point, but probably when you look at the list of his, these are going to be at the top of the list.
For sure.
Mario Bava, we have Black Sabbath from 1963. We have Blood and Black Lace from 1964, and we have Planet of the Vampires from 1965. Okay, so Black Sabbath, 1963, is an interesting movie. It is essentially, it's an anthology movie. It's three separate stories, which is, I guess, kind of rare for this
two time period. Normal length, one short one, honestly.
Well, I would here's what I would say. I think that the original movie was supposed to be the third one, and they didn't have enough to make like a full feature film out of it, and so they were like, hey, what if we just add on two other little spooky stories and then go with that, because literally the first two are not very long.
Yeah.
Like the first two are like maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so then like, but the third one is like a full 45.
Oh, yes. Easily.
So, I mean, it's maybe even, honestly, maybe long. They may be like an hour. The third one might be like, anyway, it really feels like that. It really feels like they hard focused on the third one, and the first two are just kind of like appetizers.
Yep.
Not necessarily bad, but that's how this is set up. So I guess we'll start with it. The narrator, your kind of like host intro person, is Boris Karloff, who is, if you don't know who Boris Karloff is, he was a very famous actor back in the old days. Like he was old in the 60s.
Yes.
So like in the earlier days of Hollywood and films, he was, you know, he was like a guy who did kind of spooky characters, but we're talking, you know, old time,
stuff. OG Frankenstein's monster.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. So by this time he's pretty old, but he's still like the OG, but you know, a lot of these kind of, you know, it seems to be like, you know, filmmakers that are either like very low budget or foreign, they kind of pull in these washed up actors, right, that are like, they have a famous name but they haven't done anything for a while. And that's kind of like what they did with Boris Karloff here, because they heavily sold the film on his back. And again, he's a character in the third movie, but I think they were like, well, let's lean into this. So they made him the narrator, you know, and stuff like, anyway, I think this stuff came later, but that's okay, we'll focus on the story. So story one is an old lady dies, and they call a nurse, I guess, to go in and like prepare her body. I guess that's what was happening, right?
Sure.
I mean, she was some kind of nurse, and the person called her saying the old lady died, you have to like prepare hers. I don't know what was going on. Anyway, so this nurse comes in to like prepare the body. The other lady's like, I'm spooked out, like I need to get out of here, because the lady died with like a crazy looking death mask, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, I just want to kind of get out of here, like you do your thing, and then we'll leave. Like we're both leaving. She's like, you're not gonna stay here with it? No, I'm not staying here, like this is too freaking me out, I'm getting out. So the lady is like, oh yeah, I'll take care of the body. And she looks at the old lady and there's a big giant ring on her finger, mm-hmm. Which looks like cheap costume jewelry to me, but apparently it was something that she needed. So she steals
the ring in the world.
Right. Yeah. She steals the ring, and then goes home. Mm-hmm. And then when she goes home, spookier things start happening, right? She hears water dripping. She hears, you know, stuff moving around in other rooms. She starts seeing the spooky old lady, you know, like just appearing in other rooms and stuff. And eventually, yeah. And eventually, like, the old lady, like, comes to life and then, like, strangles her to death. And then, like, when they find the body, she, like, strangled herself. And, well, it looks like she strangled herself, but essentially they say she died of fright.
Yeah.
And then another lady, the lady that found her body, apparently stole the ring off of her body. Which, so, like the curse is continuing.
It feels like that ring had, like a spike on it, the way, like, the finger kept getting damaged, realized the ring has been removed, right?
Right. Like I said, a pretty short, pretty mm-hmm. easy story there. That's it. That's the whole first story. There's really nothing else to add there.
Yeah.
Okay. The second one is also very short, very sweet, right? So there's a lady that comes home from a party or a funeral. I honestly don't know.
An event.
Yeah. An event of some kind. So she comes home, and, you know, she's like getting undressed and getting ready for bed. And her phone rings and she answers that nobody's there. Phone ring answers. It's this guy that was, I think, her husband or her boyfriend, but he's been dead. And he's like literally like sexually assaulting her over the phone.
No, he was in prison. He escaped.
I thought he was already dead.
No, he escaped. That's why the newspaper said it escaped. Like she put him in a way. She tattled on him to get him thrown into prison.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention. I know that he shows up physically later.
Yeah, and that's why she called her friend, because like, oh, you put him away. Like, I think the friend and Franco used to be like together, and then like he took her away, but then she like threw him in prison for like some job gone wrong or something like that, or abuse.
All right, maybe I missed something, because I thought he was dead.
No.
And then he like came back to life to kill this other dude and then like died again. Like just went away again. Whatever. I guess it doesn't really matter. So he was like calling her and you know, like essentially sexually assaulting her and threatening her. She like panics and calls friends to come over and stay with her because she doesn't want to be alone. Eventually, the guy shows up. I thought he was like a ghost guy. I guess he was the real guy. Mm-hmm. So he shows up, he kills people, and then he dies. And then, well, they both die. Sorry. And then she's getting phone calls after he's dead, like from beyond the grave. Like the ghost is calling her. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yep.
But so I thought it was the ghost the whole time. I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, I feel like my horror movies were different too. So maybe we watched something kind of different. But yeah, it's essentially phone call. She calls her friend, and like the subtitles I got was that her friend was pretending to be the guy on the phone, and then she came over to kill her, and then it turns out the guy showed up and actually killed her friend, and she killed him.
Oh, did you watch it in Italian with subtitles?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. I watched an English dub of it.
Oh. Yeah, I watched Italian subtitles.
Oh, okay.
All right. I didn't realize there was English.
I said, hey, television, give me Black Sabbath. And it went ba-dunk, and I just hit play, and that was it. It was on one of the major, I'm not going to say where I watched it, but it was on one of the major streaming things, major streaming channels I own a subscription to. And I pressed play, and it was in English.
Interesting. I mean, they were speaking English, and you'll see that in all his stuff where there's Italian speaking. They are speaking English, but the language is like,
well, Italian. It's okay. The problem is is that they are speaking English, because if you look really close at their mouths, they are speaking those words.
Yeah.
It's not like they're speaking Italian and they're dubbed over that.
Correct.
It's the same problem, because this is the same era where like all the spaghetti westerns are being made.
Yep.
So it's basically the people are speaking in English, but their Italian accents are so heavy that they dub over what the people are saying with people with like whatever accent they're looking for, American accents, you know, Mexican accent, whatever it is. Yeah. So that's what they do. So that's what they did here. But yeah, no, mine did not have any subtitles.
I read the first two of these movies.
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah. Essentially the way the Italian subtitles was, is that her friend Mary that she calls over, right? She was pretending to be the guy to scare her because she was mad. They had like some falling out, and she went there to say, "Hey, you know," Ryan asked her, like, "I'm sorry I did this." Then the guy shows up and kills her friend. And then she stabs that guy.
Okay. Well, again, I don't know. Maybe I missed something, but from what I gathered, she was getting these phone calls and she was freaked out because the person she was getting the phone calls from was dead. And she calls her friend over because she's like in a panic, and the friends are like, dude, she's all messed up. Like, I don't know what she's like hallucinating or something. And then the guy actually does show up. And I, again, thinking that he was already dead, maybe I was confused because that's what Boris Karloff said. He said that she was getting phone calls from beyond the grave, and I just assume it started with that.
Oh.
Maybe that was my mistake, because Boris Karloff did say that.
Yeah.
And then so I went into this thinking, okay, she's getting phone calls from beyond the grave already.
Yeah. But I'm looking at the plot of the Italian version is definitely what I said.
Okay. Well, maybe they like did goofy stuff with the English part of it. And I'm not crazy.
Apparently Frank was the former pimp and Mary was her ex-lover.
Okay. I didn't get that. I guess we watched two different, slightly different versions of the movie, but in the movie, I'm probably wrong anyway, but this is my version of what happened. The guy like, is a zombie, comes back from the dead, kills her friend, kills the other person out of jealousy, and then goes back to the grave and then keeps calling her and you know, assaulting her over the phone, because that's like what he does. I'm just leaving it there. whatever version you watched, your crazy Italian lover version, I don't know. But that's the version I watched. Now, the main course of this film is essentially, interestingly enough, a vampire story, but not a modern vampire story.
Any vampire lore story.
Well, no, it is. It is, but we're talking old folklore. We're talking, this is the stuff that got distilled down that turned into Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is the stuff that was like the old world. Believe this old wives' tales from the old world. This is the kind of shit that they would talk about.
Like Wunderlach.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Because like, if you look at the origins of vampires, is the origins of vampires is like when somebody would die and they would put them in the tomb, right? Mm-hmm. And then they would go and look at their body like a few days later, like again, 5 days later, like they're talking in this. Natural decomposition at that point, they don't necessarily look that decomposed yet. If they're kept in a tomb, they're not like out in the sun,
right?
You know,
right.
So if they're in a tomb, you go in there, and what has happened is like things are starting to move around and retract and decompose a little bit. So like blood is coming out of their mouth. That's a natural process. But if you don't understand that natural process, it looks like they've been drinking blood.
And their fingernails and their teeth.
Right.
Like your skin recesses in your fingernails. Your gums recess. Right. It looks like your teeth have.
Right. It out more. Right. So that was the old world misunderstanding that like people would get up from the grave and go eat other people. So that's like why they started like staking people in the coffin and cutting off their head and shit to like make sure they wouldn't come back.
Right.
Whatever. That's the old world story. This is like sticking with that old world story, right?
Yeah.
So like Yeah, so I'll just go to sorry. So there's a guy that like traveling. This is like old timey stuff. This is like we're back in like the medieval ages. Well, I wouldn't say that far, but not
maybe like 1700s ish.
Right. Yeah. I would say like pre. Oh no, he had a gun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah, we're talking. Yeah, we're talking 1700. So he's like traveling by horse. He sees like somebody like lurking around a ridge, and he goes up to see who's up there. And it's a guy that has his head cut off and he's stabbed in the back with a dagger on a horse.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes this body and guides it to like the next house that he finds. And he goes, "Hey, like I found this body." And they're like, "Oh yeah." And so he goes to look and the body is gone. To like, "Oh, well, that's weird." He's like, "Well, I still have the dagger that was in it." He's like, "Oh, you know," and he goes in their house. And there's literally like a holster on the wall where this particular dagger used to be, because there's one that looks identical to it right next to it. And he's like, "Okay, so this is your dagger. Like, what's up?" and eventually learns that the patriarch, the kind of old man that runs this house, has been gone hunting for days, and he hasn't come back, and they're very worried about him. Now in the house is like the traveler guy. There's he's got a daughter and a son. The son is married with a wife and a daughter and a kid, and a son. So that's, I think that's everybody in the house.
So
the old man is gone. And they're saying like, you know, at this point he's been gone for a long time. You know, now that you've found this body, like we think that, you know, he might be this vampire thing. Mm-hmm. What do they call it? Like a voodlock or something.
Voodlock, yeah.
Voodoo, something like that. And they're like in there, you know, this is like somebody that, you know, they die and then 5 days later they come back and they like, they try to drink your blood and eat you.
Oh, only, now, I don't know in your version, they say only of your loved ones?
Well, they say they come back. Yeah. Okay. So it's same basic thing. Yes, they come back to what they know.
Correct.
Which is their loved ones. That's who's going to let them get close enough to let them feed. But yes, they do specifically say their loved one. So, you know, they're kind of like waiting there, and the old man does come back, and he looks like he's dead. and he's not doing well, and he's like injured and bleeding and everything. And he's like, I'm fine.
Won't eat.
Yeah. Right. He's like, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. So he's like, you know, being really weird and creepy and like looking like he's trying to eat people. And so they're like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm not doing anything. What are you talking about? You know, eventually he steals the grandson and runs off into the woods. And so, you know, they're like, oh, man, you know, we have to go find it. So they're going chasing around. And the son ends up getting killed out there. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and then they're all like hiding in the house like, oh, my God, what's going on? So then days later, the little boy comes back as a vampire. The mom's like, oh, we got to go out there. Like, no, it's your kid's a vampire. Like, you know that. We know that. Like, everybody, like, stop it. And she like loses her fucking mind and opens the door into the kid. It's not the kid. It's the old man. But he kills her.
Yep.
And so then it's just the traveler and the one, I don't want to say it, but like the, you know, quote unquote attractive daughter, they run away, from the house and they go and like stay the night in these old like ruins. And she ends up going back to try to do something with the dad, and she ends up turning into a vampire as well. Mm-hmm. And then she comes back and then kills the dude while everybody is looking through the window. All the other vampires are looking at it happening through the window.
Yep.
And that's it. And Boris Karloff is the old patriarch dude.
Yeah.
I guess that's the only other thing really to say. Was there anything in the Italian version that was different than that?
The traveler guy was like the woman's lover.
The older daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, they just met. It wasn't like they were lovers before then.
Well, in the Italian version, they say how much they love each other. So,
oh, they do. No, they still say how much they love it. But like in the American, but like he had known her for like 12 hours by the time he's saying I love you.
Right. And then the movie ends with it being behind the magic of Boris Karloff riding on the horse.
Right.
Yeah. Like with people, branches and all that shit.
Yeah.
Did you have the weird introduction about the guy talking about the theater and vampires?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Boris Karloff.
At the very beginning?
Yeah.
Wow. It didn't look like him. Okay.
He's an old man. Yeah. No, he was the guy that did the intro and all the narration. He did the intro and then the lead into the first story. Then he did the bridge to the second story. Then he did the bridge to the last story.
Huh. Interesting.
Not in your version?
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I just had the beginning to talk about vampires maybe in the theater with you. So be quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, he did that. And then he went into when he was talking about how like water dripping can like, you know, drive a person mad. And he was like, it was an interesting shot because he was like, the camera was looking at like a pool of water and like you could see his reflection in the pool of water and they kept like dripping water into it.
Oh, okay.
Did you see that part?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's when he was introing into the lady stealing the ring and the curse.
Mm.
And then when he went into the phone call thing, he was like sitting next to a telephone talking about how the, you know, ghosts can still call you when after they're dead. And again, that's why I was like, it was me just assuming that the phone call was coming from a dead person right away. Maybe he wasn't actually dead yet. I don't know.
Did you have like the dead guy's head in yours?
Which guy?
The vampire.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm looking at it. So like the English language version, change the plot of the telephone given the supernatural element and ruined all references to prostitution and lesbians.
Yes, that is true. That is true. That was not present in the version I watched.
Okay. Interesting.
So yes, I guess I watched the English version. But yeah, the English version has a lot more Boris Karloff doing introductions and talking and stuff.
So I miss Karloff. Damn it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll say there's the streaming service I watched it on begins with a P.
Yeah.
So you get a.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And that interesting enough, the next movie I watched on there too. So I wonder if your version is different. And you said yours was in Italian subtitles. The second one, right? Oh,
easily.
Okay, yeah, mine was all in English.
Yeah, okay. The third one's English.
Yeah, the third one was English. Yes, third one, no problem. But the third one I watched the same place that you did because it didn't exist anywhere else.
Yeah, okay.
So the first and second one I watched in a different service that had the regular English dubbed versions. So,
wow, interesting.
Yes.
Do you want me to go first for my highlights for Black Sabbath?
Hey, sure.
Okay. Of course, Boris Karloff, right?
Yeah. I saw more of him than you did.
Yeah, I know. I still enjoy the Karloff I did get. So that's cool. Obviously, vampires, the Wunderlock, whatever they call it.
I want to say Vukodlock, but that's something else. But.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's still interesting. It's obviously the meat and potatoes of the movie.
Right. Yeah.
This my highlights gonna be different for yours because you had a ghost Frank. I had a real Frank.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm like, wow. I'm like, I thought that twist was great. Like, oh, this woman, this ex-lover pretending to be this guy they put away, and like she's teasing him and just tormenting this woman on the phone because she's like able to see, like, oh, you hid your jewelry. Oh, you hid your money. I can see everything. Comes over, then starts to confess, and then the real Frank shows up and kills her.
Yeah, my version, they heavily played it like she was just crazy hallucinating. Her friend comes over to like calm her down, and then like the zombie comes and kills everybody.
Wow.
That's kind of what they played it off as. I got out of it.
What was she writing on the note then in your version?
The note wrote itself.
Wow. Okay.
It was a bad freeze frame. Like that she was holding a note in her hand and it was a freeze frame. Her finger did not move at all. And it was a blank note and it wrote out itself.
Huh.
And it was, I don't remember what it said, but it like wrote itself out. And I was like, well, that's stupid looking. But it was, yeah, something like, you know, you're mine or, and you will be forever or some goofy shit like that.
they really implied the supernatural.
Yeah, they did. They that's what I was saying. Like, it was like a ghost calling her. And it, like, again, the one you watched, there's no ghosts at all. This one, it was a ghost.
Yeah, no ghosts.
And they had an intro with Boris Karloff talking about ghosts calling you on a phone.
Yeah, didn't have that.
Well, you should watch it. You just have to watch the first two. The last one seems to be the same. And it's so watch the first two and compare.
Yeah. And like I said, and you know, it's macabre enough, right? And I guess this is supposed to be like everyone's saying a spiritual successor to the Dunwich Horror. I don't know if I see that.
I don't see it as a spiritual successor. I see them both as just 60s horror films, like,
right,
60s inspired, because, well, I mean, this one isn't really, the next one is inspired by the 60s, like, heavily, because it's got a lot of fashion and stuff in it.
Oh, easy.
But this one, I don't know. I don't think so. Other than there being some 60s sensibilities in it, I don't really see the link.
Yeah. Well, that's what I got. How about you?
Okay. I tried to like come up with one for each of the mm-hmm. stories here. Like I said, Boris Karloff was great.
Yeah.
Even though I got more of them than you did. The format of the three stories is fun. I mean, especially for 63, right? It's kind mm-hmm. of fresh for that time period. Mm-hmm. The first one is essentially like the Telltale Heart.
Yes.
I mean, it's basically like a retelling of the Telltale Heart, mm-hmm. Which I thought was interesting. The second one, I thought, well, again, this is going to be different for you, because when she answers the phone and like the person's like, so what are you wearing? It was like directly out of Scream.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. I wonder if Scream got this directly from this movie, because it's like almost the same thing. She's just like sitting there like doing her normal thing, and the guy's like, oh, so you know, what are you wearing, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the 60s wardrobe is always interesting to me. Because like women wear so many layers of clothing in the 60s, like they could take off like their first two layers and they still look like they're wearing normal clothes. Well, by today's standards.
Well, she took off like three layers, went to the bathroom, put on two more layers to go to bed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is back then, the fashion was so weird. Like, it was their wardrobes had to be so big because they had to be wearing layers at all times. Yeah. It just fascinates me. Sorry. The second one fascinates me even more because there's a lot more fashion in that, but we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I thought it was fun. Okay, so the third one, I really liked that it was an old school like vampire folktale version. Like, we very rarely get that. We'll get flavors of it, but it's always like a modern vampire with kind of like some old timey flair to it.
Right.
Because like Nosferatu did that, you know, with like the old Russian vampire, the new Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Did that with kind of like the old, you know, Russian, you know, guy like that, the outfit and the attitude and stuff like that. It was, you know, some old folklore in there, but like this one is like literally going, it's like a story, like a traditionally told folktale story. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Again, we already talked about how the first two are essentially appetizers and the three is the main course, mm-hmm. because it's like at least twice as long. Okay. So I'll roll into my low points here. I'd say that old lady's death mask from the first one was like ridiculous. Like, it was like a mask and her head was like way too big.
Yeah.
It was weird looking. The first two stories, the music was like very generic and overpowering. Just like very loud, like whenever things were happening, even when there's like people talking, like the music was like overbearing what they were saying and stuff. Third one, not so much, but the first two definitely. Again, yeah, sexual assault over the phone is never fun. Again, and now I specifically said from a ghost, which in your story is not from a ghost, but yep. We'll see. And again, the second one, and in this one, it really seemed like, okay, I forgot about this part. I'll tell you about it now. She was like called her because she's freaking out because like this person that called her that's already dead. So the friend comes over to calm her down and literally drugs her.
Yes.
But not for any nefarious purpose, drugs her because they're trying to help her sleep.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure in your story, it was completely different.
Yeah, she was actually poisoned, like put her to sleep to like leave a note as like an exposition saying, I'm sorry, it was me all along. And I'm just going to, we don't know what she was going to do next. Was she going to murder her? what was she going to do? Or just like just drug her and leave her the note? I don't know. She got killed before that.
Yeah. So in this one, it's like, yeah, she drugs her. That's so she can like get a good night's sleep because she's like hysterical. And then the friend stays there to like make sure that she's okay. And then the ghost comes and kills her. But it's bizarre to me. It's like, I'm fascinated.
Did they also have the joke about it being poison in yours?
The joke?
Yeah. She's like, is it poison? She goes, ha ha ha. No.
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, can't have lesbian poison, I guess.
Yeah, I guess not. Again, I mean, the dubs are so bad. Yours is probably not so bad. Well, you said yours was still in English, though.
Oh, that's the thing. Like, if you have the English subtitles and you're reading it and matching their lips, it matches up perfectly. So I'm like, they're clearly speaking the words I'm reading on screen.
Oh, anyway, I was like, bad dubs, but mine was normal English. I'm sure yours was like something different. I mean, I want to watch that one.
It was Italian dubbed English subtitles.
Interesting.
That's how I watched it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
For all of them, they're bad dubs. But in the last one, there's like, you know, the guy knew her for like 12 hours and is like in love with her. They didn't have any date or anything or like any alone time. It was like they literally just had casual conversation and then like horrible things happen. And then I love you. I was like, okay, dude, need to back down. But again, she was okay with it. I don't know if that was the time thing. I don't know, but
maybe
it was weird. That's all I got.
Yeah, I talk about the guy and, you know, be nice to the vampires in the theater. I'm like, I'm not sure I want vampires in my theater.
Why not? They want to watch movies too.
I don't know how would like a picture of a sunset do something to them?
A picture? No.
Or the film of the sunset?
No. Okay. No.
And this is just the two, I think, true today, especially with the telephone, is the insatiable need people have to answer the phone when it's ringing, right? You don't have to answer it.
Right. Well, back in the old days, you had to like leave it off the hook or unplug it.
Right. And I'd say in both our versions, if you're getting called from someone you thought was someone you threw in jail or a ghost, just leave your phone off the hook. Like,
well, if it's a ghost, it doesn't matter if it's plugged in or not.
Yeah. Well, for my version, she could just took it off.
She could just unplug it. Right. Yeah.
And been fine. Like I think people still have that need. Oh, I need to answer my phone call. You don't. Unless it's someone actually important, you don't really have
to. I don't know. I'm the opposite. Like, I'll look at the phone and be like, I should answer this. And I don't. And like, I hate answering the phone.
Well, it's just so like, much. I think it just runs like people, you know, had to answer the phone every time it rang. Sure. Like, if everyone you know is at your house, like if you have a family, there's no need to answer the phone. But, like, I think people still have that, like, ooh, I got an email. How exciting. And that's the same thing, just now emails instead.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when I was a kid, like, you know, whenever it's landlines everywhere, it was like you always answered the phone. Yeah. Even if it was, like, dinner, you'd answer the phone and you'd say, hey, I'm eating dinner. Like, right. Like you wouldn't just not answer the phone.
I know. But, like, if, like I said, if you're getting harassing phone calls, I would stop answering the phone.
Well, yeah, of course. Yes.
Yeah. And I just put this because of my version. I'm like, they are clearly speaking English. Why am I listening to Italian?
Yeah, that's just funny. The dubs are there, but like, yeah, you look at their mouth and they're clearly saying those words, but it's clearly not that person talking.
Yeah.
It's very odd. I mean, again, I know they do it because they have like Italian accents because they're all like Italian actors. And so I'm sure they have Italian accents. And so they dub them over with like Americans. So it's like, why don't you just hire the Americans? Because then you get like weird, you know, like affectations and like it doesn't quite hit the same.
Yeah. But that's all I got. What are our olives for this week?
We're doing bad Italian dubs because the versions I watched anyway had very, very bad Italian dubs for all three of these films. So that's what we're going with. I was also thinking about maybe ominous zoom-ins because there's a lot of those. And I was also thinking about sped up chases because there was also a lot of those.
Yeah.
But there wasn't any in the third one, so I was like, ah, oh, maybe that won't fit. But ominous zoom-ins were there, but I went with bad Italian dubs.
Okay. You want me to go first then?
Hey, sure, why not?
Okay. This is an interesting movie. Like I said, it's called Different Things, not Black Sabbath. I think Black Sabbath is like the American title. It's like $7 for Death or something like that. Or was that the next one? It was something weird, but which is interesting. Oh, Three Faces of Fear is what it's called, which is interesting. Is it the greatest movie of all time? No. No. I will give it I'll give it a solid 5.5. How about you?
Yeah, I'm right around there. I mean, it's an interesting piece. Again, you know, it's interesting seeing Boris Karloff in this realm. I like that the vampire story is like the traditional folktale vampire story. I mean, the acting isn't great. The dubbing isn't great. There's a lot of things that aren't fantastic about it, but I think overall it's worth watching. So I'd give it like a 6.25.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. So now we move on to 1 year later. And Blood and Black Laser. What was it called in I think in Italian it's called like something Assassino or something. Saw the Italian
six
title.
Women for the murderer.
Okay. The murderer must be Assassino, because I know I saw that word in the title.
Yes. Six Donne, which is women, yeah. Let's face it, there's not a lot that happens in this movie.
All right. Well, whoever was naming these in English did a fantastic job.
Yeah. But it's essentially, I'd say a classic giallo movie. Like if you said this was like Fulci, I would be like, okay, I can see it. But essentially what happens is there is a fashion empire, I guess, for lack of a better word, fashion show, essentially. Right. And there's one woman that had like, I would say, blackmailing everyone else that was there. And she had like this notebook that an assailant in the white mask was trying to murder and find out whoever had this diary. And, you know, we get introduction and someone's just like strangled in the woods and like, oh, she had a diary. Oh, this has a bunch of bad stuff in there. Let's put this in this black purse to make sure we all know where it is, and we have to figure out what to do with it. And during the course of the fashion show that's going on there, it gets taken. We don't see who it was because we have a conveniently placed wall of clothes that go in front of it. Does this match up so far with your movie?
So far, yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out where it goes.
Okay. So essentially that's kind of going over it. You know, woman gets called, is like, hey, Franco is sick, I have to go here. She goes to this studio warehouse apartment thing, I guess. I also would describe it, right? It seems like
it looked like a prop storage for like a play troupe or something.
Like, but also but also had like some place to lay down and sleep and maybe live. I don't know. But essentially she gets attacked there with, I'm going to say, the world's worst spiky looking glove thing.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what that is. I was like, is that like a lizard hand? Like, is that like, was that actually a weapon?
It maybe, but if you look like the way I said, it looks like, you know, like the hooks that you hang like your coats on, like the, you know, that you just screw into the wall, like those couple of hooks, like coat hangers, and like, but it's all bent where it's like, you know, the pit tips of what this hook would be, like it's facing back inward into the hand. But
right, it looks like
face with it.
Yeah, like it looked like somebody made a metal version of like what an eagle's claws look like.
Yeah, but
not, and then like stabbed her out in the face with
not talons out.
No, yeah, it was like very knuckles. Awkward looking, right?
Knuckles, yeah. And guy kind of just like throws a suit of armor over her to hide the body.
As you do,
right? I'm like, oh, is he gonna pick her up and put her in the armor? No, just throws it on top of her. Cool, I guess.
Right. Yeah, they find her like immediately, so like obviously it didn't work, like why bother.
Yeah. All this is kind of going on there. We have another woman that has like a guy who's just wholly infatuated with her. He's like, I told you 1,000 times I love you. Police like, yeah, we found your friend, we found your car, blah blah. She's like, oh, and she has the diary, starts kind of burning the pages of it. All this is kind of going on there. Like, police call up and they like take every guy they know and put them all into prison and have like a lineup. While this is kind of going on there, another person is killed. Go figure. Like, oh, well, it's clearly not any of these guys because they were all in prison. They have the best alibis of all time. As we're kind of going through all this stuff, we essentially get to the point where like all the other women are like in a room and they start just getting like murdered one by one. Right? Like all being together for safety, and we kind of find out that it was like one of these, I don't know if she's a, was she a model? Was she a model or is she just kind of someone that worked with them?
She, from what I'm not really sure. She was like the lady in charge.
Okay.
And what it seemed like is that because her husband died, it seemed like the husband was like the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And so he died. And so she kind of took over that role.
Yeah.
Is kind of what I got from it.
Yeah. But kind of going through all the stuff, like I said, it's it becomes a slasher movie at this point in time. Everyone's going together and they find that this, I don't know, is this this other fashion guy or her, like her new lover? I couldn't try.
Okay.
To tell
what it was. Dude, I was writing out what was happening because I had to stop and keep rewinding. Like, what? Uh-huh. What are you doing? What is going on? Like, I was so confused. I literally wrote out a whole, like the whole ending thing because I could not make sense. I still don't. It still doesn't make any sense to me, but I have it written down.
But yeah,
like, if you want me to read it,
let me finish it and you can read yours and see what you have written down. Essentially, they are just trying to murder everyone just to like get jewelry, and then like he accidentally like bashes her in the head, and they love each other, and then she kills him, and then they fall over dead. She falls over dead over him, and that's the movie. It's like Scream, but they got away with it and then turned on each other.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. So here's what I got out of it. Okay. The one dude was the killer. Okay. And then, but when he was in jail, his lover, who was the owner lady, goes and kills again, for him. Right. So that he can get out. And now she's also a killer, which she's upset about, but he gets to be free, which she's happy about. Okay. So that's, you know, and then they're like all, you know, kissing and loving, like, oh, you're out, we're together, like they'll never find us. And he's like, oh, but we have to have somebody take the fall for all these murders because we can't just walk away. They're going to keep looking and they'll find us eventually. Mm-hmm. So somebody has to take the fall. I'm going to go deal with that. And she's like, okay. So he leaves. Right. So she goes and then kills another girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what she was doing. She like sliced her up with a razor and then leaves.
Yeah.
Okay. And then she goes back to her house and the dude goes to the door and starts ringing the doorbell and she panics. Why? I have no idea. And somehow he instinctively, psychically knows exactly where she's going to go when she's scared. And he goes and clips the little bracket holding the drain pipe onto the building so that she runs out the window because she's so scared that somebody's ringing the doorbell. And she runs out and tries to grab onto this drain pipe and falls down. And he thinks that she's dead. But she's not dead. And then she comes back and now somehow knows what he did.
Mm.
Right? I was like, what? there's so many steps here where I'm like, how do these people know that? Like, what is going on? And then again, she was talking about, oh, you told me whenever I got scared that I should go onto the balcony. Or go onto this ledge. Like he specifically told you to go there. Why? And why would you do that? And it's not explained in any way. So I was like, I was so fucking lost as to like what happened. But anyway, and then she kills him.
Yeah.
And then she like apparently dies of her injuries.
like whatever into the head. Yeah.
Right. That's it. Yeah. So like I was so low. I literally had to write that out because I'm like, I had to rewind it and watch it like a couple of times. I'm like, how the fuck are we jumping from this to this to this? Like how would people know that? Like, I understand if you wrote it, it sounds great to you. But, like, if it, you watch from the outside, there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that you would know any of this stuff. Like, again, why did she go murder someone else to pretend like it's a sex maniac when she didn't leave any other evidence? She just killed somebody else. Right. That's it. That's all she did. So, okay, if you're trying to pin it on somebody else, you're going to have to leave evidence or something. She didn't do any of that. She just killed somebody, then came back to the house. Somebody rang the doorbell and she fucking goes into a panic. Like, you're in your house.
Yeah.
Like, answer the door, and then you could have, you know, oh, well, I didn't kill anybody because this person came to my door at that exact time that the murder happened. Right? Like, but it's the dude. It's the dude that she's in cahoots with is the guy ringing the doorbell.
Yeah.
Which again, doesn't make any sense.
Correct.
And then again, how would you know that one, she would go on that specific balcony, and two, how the fuck do you know that she's going to grab onto that drain pipe to keep her balance, or that she needs to? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And then again, like, I don't know. I was so fucking lost as to what was going on. And that was just the very end. There's other things that make even less sense than that earlier.
Well,
if you want me to go into that, or do you want me to wait till later?
Wait, essentially, like, kill one guy, drown her in her bathtub, make it look like suicide, then cut her wrist.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, she's trying to make it look like a sex maniac, but she doesn't do anything.
Correct.
Like, she slices her with a fucking razor blade, but how does that make it a sex crime? Mm. And how does that equal leaving more evidence?
I don't know.
But no, the one thing that made me start rewinding and trying to, like, understand what was happening was the one lady. Well, first she says, well, I live in the country all alone. And it's like, oh no, feel bad for her. She's all alone in a country house. She goes home. She's got a fucking butler.
Yeah.
Like, you are not alone in any way.
Nope.
Like, so, and but anyway, she gets home. She opens up the trunk of her car and there's a dead body in it. Right.
Yep.
And what does she do? She picks up the dead body, drags it into her house, and then hides it.
Yes.
So you're like, okay, she's the murderer. And then the very next scene, she gets killed by the murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then why, if you found a body in the trunk of your car, what would your reaction be?
Clearly, go bring it to my house.
Right.
And bring it in. And put up armor, you know, suit of armor over.
Right. But it's like, what? You know, again, when you're watching the film, like, okay, she's obviously the murderer, or at least in league with the murderer, right? Mm-hmm. But no, she gets killed right after that. So, like, she moved a body from her car into her house and hid it when she had no connection with the murderers at all. I had to watch it twice or three times. I'm like, where's the connection? What is going on? Like, is she being betrayed by someone? Like, again, like, I was like, maybe I'll just watch later on in the movie. Maybe they'll explain, like, she was in, like, a partner or somebody. Nope.
Nope.
That was it.
Yeah.
I was just, this movie, it was good up until a certain point, and then it just literally fell apart.
Correct.
Anyway, sorry. I took over you.
All good.
But I was very confused.
Yeah. So, all right. Why don't you do your highlights first for this?
Okay. Well, the murderer was clearly Rorschach.
Yes.
Because the exact same outfit, like the white hooded masked face that, you know, through the shadows looked like Rorschach's, you know, thing, same hat, same coat, same gloves, everything, like literally Rorschach. It was funny. Mm-hmm. 60s fashion, again, it fascinates me. Like, there's so many layers. There's so many things happening.
Yeah.
So many things that are all in there. And, you know, the brassieres, you got the, like, torpedo points on them.
Of course.
Just fascinating. It's fascinating, and it's like a train wreck to me now, but fascinating. But it, like the kind of like the interiors of all the houses there, like there's this insanely like gaudy Italian design.
Yeah.
Like everything is like super embellished and like everything has like intricate like carvings and lattice work and even like standard apartment hallway doors have like old timey like Middle Ages knockers on them and stuff. It's bizarre. I guess that's just how it is because you know the towns are old. There's old right. stuff there.
Right.
Much older than we're used to, but it's fascinating to me. And again, like at the end, it was like, oh, good for her. You know, she got back at the dude because the dude didn't quite get away with it, but she died anyway. But, you know, I was like, you know, good for her. Good for you. But that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah. Very giallo.
Like I said, yes. It
could have easily been, like I said, Fulci or Argento. It falls right into it, but like, you know, earlier in that time frame.
Technically Fulci and Argento are influenced by this.
Correct. Yeah. It's kind of a whodunit for a lot of the movie.
Yeah, it really is. It's like a mystery they intentionally mislead you in certain points.
And that notebook, you know, just the whole blackmail and whatever is fine.
Well, yeah, like the lady's like she steals the diary and then she's like burning the pages of it. Like
not all the pages, just pages about her, essentially.
Well, yeah, she was tearing out the pages, and then when somebody knocked on the door, she threw the whole thing in the fire. Yeah. So, like, again, it seemed like, you know, she was connected to it in some way. So you're like, oh, she must be connected to the murderers. Nope. The lady moving the body isn't connected to the murder. Like, there's a lot of red herrings.
Yeah, and kind of two killers, which is, you know, Scream inspired, and they both die.
Right.
So that's what I have there. All over my low points, the fashion world, I don't understand it. I'll never understand it. I don't care to understand it. I understand people love it. It's just not my thing.
I mean, it's not my thing either, but it's still interesting.
And let's say that warehouse, right, or studio apartment, maybe there. If that's someone's living there, like that neon dancing light would annoy the shit out of me because it's going nonstop and lighting up like so much of that area.
Maybe that's where Daredevil stays.
Maybe. I said, I'm not sure how spiky that glove is. It didn't look spiky. I don't know how you're impaling it on someone, but I thought it was like such a goofy thing. Like, clearly it's not going to do damage to anyone.
Right. Like, I mean, there's literally like suits of armor and swords and weapons Correct. Everywhere. And he picks like this wacky, like, looks like a lizard hand or something. Yeah. That's what he used?
Yeah, and then it's like, I'm going to hide the body. Yes, here you go, suit of armor. Right. Fall on top of her. Cool.
And then the next scene is the police looking at the body. So like, it literally did nothing.
Right.
Why bother?
Yeah, and I said, the whole ending of it just kind of, it's almost like they had the great premise and then just didn't know what the fuck to do at the end.
Right. Ending literally fell apart. Again, as soon as the lady moved the body from the trunk of her car, it's like it was all over the place. Before that point, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. You want me to do?
Yep.
Mine. You ready? Done. Okay. So yeah, we're talking bad dubs again. We're talking spaghetti western level dubs. Well, yours was it in Italian?
No.
Was it subtitled?
No.
Oh, this one was okay. All right.
Yeah, this one's fine.
All right. So we're talking spaghetti western level dubs here. Not good. Their cars were tiny. The tiny little Italian cars. Like, I was like, if somebody hits them, they're going to explode. Like, they look like go-karts. But I guess that's most European cars are small like that. We only got giant ones over here in the United States. The acting, even with the dubs and everything, it was so bad. Like the physical acting was just atrocious at certain points. Maybe the dub made it worse. I don't know. It just it felt bad. And then we're like literally. I already went into all these other. I have a long list of of things, but I already talked about all of them. So we'll just again like, oh, I'm all alone out here in the country with a butler moving the body. The whole ending scenario doesn't make any sense. Blah blah blah. All done. So Blood and Black Lace, 1964. What would I give this film? Now, I'm going to say I didn't like this one as much as I liked Black Sabbath. It has a lot of interesting elements in it, like a lot of things that I thought were good, but the ending is so confusing. I don't know if they like rewrote things or if like somehow it got dubbed wrong or I don't know. I don't know what was happening. Sometimes it didn't make sense to me, but I'll give it 5.15.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think it was, as you said, as interesting by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know what else to say about that. Yeah, it's definitely worse for me. I'm gonna go down to. I agree about with your point assessment down there. I'm gonna go 4.75 bad Italian dubs out of 10. It's just like I said, it fell apart at the end. It just makes zero sense. To the point, like I said, you had to write it down just to figure out what the hell is going on.
Right. You know, and I'm usually pretty good about following along with wacky storylines, but like this one I was like, hold on. Like this is relying way too much on these, like, you know, well, again, because if you write this stuff down and film it that way, like, of course, it could be whatever you want it to be. But like, you have to realize that, like, if you're a person in this world and you're relying on like crazy luck, you know, like, oh, I'm going to snip this one bracket on this one drain pipe and I know she's going to grab that specific drain pipe. Like, you don't fucking know that. There's no way. You right. can't plan for that.
Right.
But yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, so now we're moving on.
Yes.
To Planet of the Vampires from 1965. Now, I don't know if this one just felt like an old 50s movie or if it was like thought of in the 50s and it wasn't filmed until the 60s. I don't know. But it literally the beginning is like picture a 50s space movie with like miniatures like floating through like at space on wires, like next to like a big globe also on a wire. That's essentially the beginning of this film.
Yeah.
It's two spaceships. They go to a planet where they're getting some kind of signal. And they're going to investigate. This is obviously far future. They're in spaceships and they're wearing these fantastic black leather outfits with like these weird warlock collars. It's fantastic, fantastic design. Yeah. Fantastic design. So they go to this place and like, there's two ships and the one ship is like, oh yeah, we're going to go check this out. Like, hey, hey, we're talking on the phone and we're joking and zoop, they lose contact completely. They're like, oh, okay. So what's happening? You know, so, okay, well, we have to land and find out what's going on. So they land. There's still no contact. They don't know what's going on. And as soon as they land, people on their ship start doing goofy stuff. And they don't know what they're like. When they confront them and like shake them, like, what are you doing? They don't remember what they were doing.
Correct.
Like somebody else was in control of their body. So like the one doctor goes as far as to like literally leave the ship. And then he trips and falls on a rock and then they find him and he's like, oh, what am I doing out here? Like you didn't even know.
Hey, those 40 G's mess with your mind, man.
Right. 80 G's. He said it was 80 G's.
80 G's. Yeah, even worse.
Like, they, yeah, in real life, you'd be a puddle. But whatever. Correct. This is space. Maybe.
Oh, he mentions that 40 G's is usually kills people. And they're
yeah, eight, which right. is not true. It's even less than that.
It's like.
But so they're all like, oh, that's weird. What's going on? So he's like, seal up the ship. You know, we're going to go out in a scouting mission. So they go out on the scouting mission to find this other ship. They find the other ship and everybody's dead. And it looks like they all like killed each other. And they're like, oh, well, this is interesting. What's going on? So we're going to bury all these bodies, right? So they bury all the bodies. They go back to their ship. And then we see all the bodies, like, raise up out of the ground.
Yep.
And so then they're like, oh. So then, you know, so then they see these dead bodies. And they're like, oh, the people are, like, moving around. And they're, like, trying to pretend, like, oh, no, I'm really the guy. I wasn't really dead. And they're like, you were. And so they're, you know, and then eventually they find out they're like, oh, no, they were dead. And they're like, they're literally corpses. They have like big holes in them and stuff. And so they end up chasing him away. You know, some of the people die on both sides, but they end up chasing him away. Again, they bury people again. And then like the one lady appears, like literally she only appears halfway through the movie. And then all of a sudden she's hysterical because she keeps seeing dead people, even though they've already like seen a dead person be reanimated before this point. but she's freaking out about it for some reason. Anyway, two other people go off and they find another spaceship, an alien spaceship this time. So they're looking through the alien spaceship. There's like these big, weird, giant alien looking things. I don't really know what the point of that was on the other ship, other than to show that another alien ship had been here before and died. But it was a kind of a longer scene that really didn't really go anywhere.
I think it's like this other ship answered the distress call. And
right. But we didn't find that out till the end.
Correct.
But at this part, it just seems like a really long part of them going through your quote unquote alien technology and how to escape correct. Or whatever. But like ultimately it doesn't mean anything. So yeah. Anyway, they go back to their ship. And at this point they now figure out that whatever it is, they're inhabiting these dead people. They can inhabit living people, but they only can, they're very fragile. They can literally be shook out of it. But if they inhabit a dead person, they can come back as in that body. And at this point they literally like talk to them like, yes, we're an alien race. We can't live on our own. We have to inhabit other bodies. We can share bodies with you if you let us, but we can just take over your dead bodies too, because that's easy for us. Mm-hmm. But you know, we need to get off of this planet and you need to bring us with us, you know? And they're like, no, you can't do that, because you're going to take over Earth and you're going to kill everybody. And they're like, probably, you know, they don't even try to deny it. They're just like, yeah, you're probably right. So they go, okay. So they fight them off the ship. They go back to they're like, oh, we're going to go back to this other ship and just take off, because they steal their, I don't know, MacGuffin thing that like helps them survive in space. So it's the
asteroid blocker.
Yeah. It was like the meteor extractor or something. Something stupid. It was some dumbass thing. It like somehow stopped meteors from hitting the ship or something. So the vampire, we'll call them vampires at this point. The vampires go back to their ship and they're about to take off with this meteor ray gun thing. So the captain and the one lady who are not like taken over yet go to fight them on their ship. They kill a whole ton of them with like a ray gun that looks like it's just shooting propane flames out. But they're fighting each other with that stuff. And they get the meteor extractor. They come all the way back, fighting. They get on the ship and they take off. So it's the captain and the lady who went and got the thing. And then the engineer dude who stayed behind to like fix everything so they could be ready to take off. So they take off and they're going in space. And he kind of discovers that the captain and the lady are acting kind of goofy.
Yeah.
So he confronts them and he finds out that they're really aliens have taken over their body. And so he's like, oh no. And then he like destroys the meteor extractor thing and he dies in the process of doing that. And the movie ends them basically going like, yeah, I guess our ship's going to blow up. And then they, oh, let's land on this planet here. And they look and it's clearly Earth. And they look
primitive planet.
Right. I thought they were going to call the Battlestar Galactica. Like I thought they were going to like, oh, they're going to populate the Earth and they're going to be like Adam and Eve. But no, they like, they looked through the scope and like, were looking at like New York City. So it was like, they were just going to like
New York. Yeah.
Yeah. They were just going to like take over the Earth, I guess, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was like, I thought for sure. I was like, oh, they're doing Battlestar Galactica. This is where they got it from. But no, they didn't. So that's it.
Pretty much, yeah. Now I feel like I've seen this movie before.
This is the kind of movie I've seen like clips of and pictures of, because it's very kind of iconic looking. Yes. I've never seen this movie before.
I had to look. I'm like, did Mystery Science Theater do it? Did Riff Trax do it? No. What I think is. Where I've seen clips of it from as well, get into one of the highlights here. So it's entirely possible, because I know there's some audio clips from this movie used in something else. Do you want me to go first? Or do you want to go first for your highlights?
You can go first.
Obviously, the costumes are spectacular.
They are. Those leather outfits. I was like, man, them warlock collars are awesome. So they're like permanent warlock collars that are like literally like touching their face. It's Fascinating.
And you see why, though, when they put their helmets on, it just goes over just like their chin to their back of their head, because those you know, cowls that Batman wore in the new The Batman, essentially, is that high. It's great. I think the set design is classic. It's, you know, a colorized version of the 50s sci-fi. You can see
it's retro futurism. That's what they call it.
Yeah, obviously big inspiration for Star Trek, the 60s one. I like there's like, you know, giants and vampires and kind of zombie vampires, vampire possession, I guess, if you want to call it that, right? Because they're like, oh, we can possess you, or we can raise you from the dead. It's better just to let us in, which is interesting. The no, never, that line is in a lot of stuff. Rob Zombie used it, and his brother, Spider-One, used it for Vias for Vampire. And I'm pretty sure they used clips from this movie for their music video, because that's where they got the line from. So that's my best guess as to where I've seen all these clips. I like Power Man 5000, of course.
I'm sorry.
And a lot of people are saying that this movie had influenced everything from Ridley Scott's Alien to Prometheus to Pitch Black.
Yeah, I saw an article. I was looking around for stuff after that. I saw an article that literally said, Planet of the Vampires walked so that Alien could run.
Yep. Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Like I said, like just the whole set design. Like, remember, people had to like either paint that as a backdrop, which was huge, or they had to design all that stuff, which is still huge. Because like these spaceships aren't cramped. They're like, you know, 1,000 square foot decks for people to work on, right?
Right.
And it's just insane, this open sets they had. I love it. And of course, it's Earth all along. They're going to. So do you think that implied then that they're not from, like, not the alien vampire things, but the original spaceship isn't clearly from Earth? So they're another alien species being taken over by another alien species to go invade Earth.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause if you look like when they were talking about like a lot of the technical stuff, they were using terms that don't exist.
Right.
And I think they weren't like using made up space words. Like sometimes things do.
Right.
I think they were doing that intentionally to show you that they are like somehow different evolution of technology.
Yep. Oh, they still build their buildings out of iron and stone.
Of course.
Well, your spaceship's made out of metal. What are we building out of?
Well, like, it looks like metal. We don't know what it is.
Oh, is it synthetic? Like what they did in Battlestar Galactica, where they sprayed that synthetic Cylon stuff on?
Maybe. You don't know. Who knows?
Maybe. That's what I have. How about you?
Yeah, again, number one, them outfits, man. Fantastic. Two, again, retrofuturism. I got the same one and two that you do. But yeah, the ship's bridge is fantastic. The guns that they have are amazing. Very, very ray gunny. But I really liked the alien ship. I know I said in the explanation that like it really is pointless that it's there. Like there's nothing happens there that couldn't just have been in another scene. But it's kind of fascinating that they put it there. They have this whole other like giant alien space. They have like kind of like a truly alien looking interior. You know, where like things are like weirdly geometrically shaped and they have like, you know, obviously the ways that they interact with things are different. Like they try to like touch this light and they get shocked, you know, because they can't use it. And they, you know, kind of figure out that like, oh, because they were so big, it must not have shocked them. You know, blah, blah, stuff like that. It was just genuinely interesting alien stuff, I thought. And, you know, like the language, like they turned on whatever that machine was, it was clearly their language. And he was clearly talking in like giant alien language. but yeah, they were just like, turn it off. And like, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about that again. So another thing I thought it was very interesting is how thick the doors were.
Yeah.
Now that is very rare. Like even like things that have like real spaceships and doors and hulls and everything, they're not that thick.
No,
I just think it's interesting that they were like, oh, it's in space. They would have really thick doors. And so all the doors are super thick. Even in the alien ship, they're super thick. It's funny to me. Again, the whole, like, you know, are they mind parasites? But again, like, you can't, you don't know who to trust, right? It might be anybody, you know, mm-hmm. It could be your friend, could not be your friend, could be your friend is dead and it's somebody walking around in his corpse. You don't know. And that's fun. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're rolling to low points here. Again, yeah. We got some terrible dubs. I think, was yours in dubbed English or was it subtitled again?
Oh, it was dubbed English.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
They had one woman on the whole spaceship.
Yeah.
And I wrote that in the beginning, and then about halfway through the movie, another woman appears out of nowhere, seemingly. And all she does is, like, freak out. And scream and get hysterical because she thinks dead people are around, and then she dies very shortly after that.
Well, I mean, think about the time frame this was made. They can't be professors and rocket scientists.
Come I'm on. Just saying, yeah. But of course, the one woman is like the communications right. person because correct. That's what they can allow them to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but there's only one woman on the whole ship, and then but one later showed up. It was funny. Anyway, like at some point, I don't know if they ran out of the black leather uniforms, but they started wearing these like orange and gray track suits.
Yep.
I'm like, what is this? Did they run out of those outfits? And then like the leather outfits come back. And then there's just like a couple of people wearing the gray and orange track suits. They're just never explained. Like, I don't understand why they're clearly inferior outfits. But I did not like them.
Yeah.
And again, like, you found an alien technology, right? Clearly an alien ship, alien corpses, and you find what is most likely an alien recorded language. And his first thought is smash it until it stops making noise. You're supposed to be a scientist like astronaut, dude. Like, what is wrong with you? Anyway, and I thought I was laughing hysterically. I had to stop the movie. Because I was laughing so hard. There is a door that when they go in the door and they're like, oh, this is the elevator. They are very clearly just squatting down.
Yes.
Like they go in there and they're like, oh, we're going down the elevator. And they're very clearly just moving, like squatting down. Like it's obviously not moving. It's just them squatting. Oh my God. I was laughing so fucking hard. Yeah. Same thing when they come back up. It's just them standing up. It was, oh man, I was dying. But that's all I got. What do you got?
Yeah, like I put this, like what do you want to call it, a periscope that they were looking at that had the flashing red light nonstop. Like they kept having to look into that flashing red light, look at the periscope. I'm like, Jesus, that like that's hurting my eyes. Little having to be an actor to stare at that. Like I don't understand why the red light's there. Sure.
You can act with your eyes closed, you know.
I know. No, maybe I can. But, the whole G thing, like, I feel like we knew that 12 Gs was, like, deadly to humans at that point in time. And then going saying, oh, this is 80 and we're fine.
Well, again, now they can say, well, they're not human. So their Gs mean something different.
If I mean, if they're used to that type of Gs and they go to Earth, they're going to, like, float off the ground for them. Like it's gonna be nothing.
Well, maybe their G's compared to our G's are divided by 10.
Oh, you're saying one's an imperial, one's metric.
Right. Yeah, we don't know. They're not human.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that's a cheap answer, but that's there you go.
I liked how the guy he sold it, right? He always like you've ever watched like classic Star Trek, like the red shirts, the people in the crew, like that guy's clearly has a giant like wrench and it's turning something, but it's not actually turning. Like when he, like I would call it the escape room puzzle door that he had to like take those two magnetic things that slid them together to be able to open the door. It was clearly open the entire time, but he's and like that, just like that generic, you know, sci-fi bullshit that exists at that point in time. Like, how's this supposed to work? I don't know. And I was
they also did that with the meteor extractor.
Yeah.
Like he was supposed to be unscrewing it. And he was clearly just slapping it with his hand.
Yeah. Well, and then like, you know, you talk about the guns, like the way they're holding their guns, like didn't seem like that's the way it'd be. Like they had like,
no, okay. There is
front.
Right. There is a way to do it. And there's a hilarious point later on in the film where they are fighting and the one lady throws him the gun and he catches it and aims it at him the wrong way.
Correct.
And then they cut, and then he's holding it the right way. But it is like he's very clearly holding it the wrong way. And again, I laughed a lot at that point.
Well, you think the handles would be at the middle or back of the gun?
Well, both sides of it have a big empty circle.
Right.
So, like, it looks like a gun from either direction. So, yeah, it's very clearly an easy mistake to make.
Yeah. And I laughed, like, when they were going to open up and find that body, that, like, the sheet ghost that popped out.
There's clearly no one there. Like, why are they pretending like there is?
Correct. Yeah. And then, like, the guy's like, how do you know we're damaged? You look damaged, like, opens up his leather vest. And it's like, you know, clearly just a shirt with, like, a bone.
It's a shirt with some spaghetti spilled on.
I know. Like I said, that it's hilariously bad. I'm just shocked that, like I said, Mr. Science Theater never did it with Riff Tracks. I'd love to see a version.
Well, again, there are ridiculous parts of this movie, but mm-hmm. there are also very interesting parts. You know, it's kind of equal parts ridiculous 50s space movie, yeah. and then like something. Else it's trying to be something else. It's injecting some intelligence into it, but it can't quite get over that wacky 50s kind of background that it's in.
Correct. It has to be close to the tail end of sci-fi movies like this, right?
Again, this feels like it was written in the 50s,
right?
Right. And then, like, yeah, they, like, kind of rewrote some interesting things in it because it probably didn't get made because it was too generic. And so they rewrote some of the stuff to make it, like, interesting to where, like, oh, who do you trust? You know, who is the alien, who is not? I'm pretty sure the original script probably was, like, very clear who the bad guys were.
Right.
And so this one makes it a little bit more loose and open and a little bit more, like, you know, tension, you know, stuff like that of like, oh, what is really going on? That yeah. all that added on probably later. And I think that's the interesting part. It makes this a little bit unique.
Yeah. Like I said, it's always interesting to see the end of that era of some, that type of film, right? Like I said, I think because sci-fi went by the wayside shortly after this, I think for a good decade until like Alien came back.
Well, yeah, it was like this and like Star Trek, the original Star yeah. Trek, and then it was like drought and I think there's some interesting stuff in between, but it really didn't start up again until like the early 70s.
And I think then with it, the success of Alien really popularized it through the 80s, so you get the cheesy sci-fi aliens again.
Yeah. I mean, it came back just like, I mean, you know, just like a lot of genres, they go away and then they come back like horror. It never truly goes away, but it's like certain elements go away as we know, like
have died out for the most part.
Right. Well, yeah. Like your classic slasher was like in the 80s. We kind of have like the revisionist ones in the 90s. And then we had some in the very early 2000s, and then they kind of, they've never really gone away, but they've, you know, fallen off as far as popularity very heavily. So there's still always some coming out, but they're like nowhere near the volume that they were.
Right. Yeah. They're able to be generic in the 80s.
Right. Right.
So, all right. I guess I'll go first for number of bad Italian dubs out of 10. This is cheesy as hell, and I do appreciate it for it. There's definitely good points. You know, I like my cheese. I will go to 7.5 bad Italian dubs out of 10. How about you?
Yeah. Now, again, is it cheesy at certain points? Of course it is. Mm-hmm. You know, like, again, we got the weird ray guns, the retro future, you know, spaceships, the ridiculous miniatures. But there is a little extra to this, right? There is a lot more like smart plot stuff happening, right? It's not the dumb, you know, like turn off your brain atomic monster type of space horror. It's like there's more to this, you know. There's you know, kind of intrigue, like who is the bad guy, who isn't the bad guy, what is going on, like what happened to those people, what happened to these aliens, you know. There's kind of like bigger unanswered questions that I think are pretty fun. So I did appreciate it. I will give it a 7.
Okay. That's all I got.
All right. That's all I got. So if you thought the 60s were old school, Wait until you see what we have for next month. All next month. Yeah, that's right. The entire month, we're taking a time machine all the way back. Back to that decade of ridiculous horror films we just mentioned. That's right, the 50s. Taking an entire month to pay homage to some foundational beginnings of horror. That's right. Next week, we begin with some classic 50s horror, space horror, kind of the precursor to Planet of the Vampires. We're going with It, The Terror from Beyond Space from 1958, The Thing from Another World from 1951, and Forbidden Planet from 1956. Are you excited?
I am. I haven't watched these in a while. Have you seen all of these?
I honestly don't know. I know I've seen at least one of these, but I'm not sure which one it was. Okay. Maybe not. Honestly, I don't know if I've ever seen them all the way through, even if I have.
Forbidden Planet is essentially the robot from Lost in Space.
Right, before he was Robbie the Robot.
Right, and obviously The Thing from Another World is the inspiration for
The Thing. Right, yeah. I know of these. I just don't know if I've ever watched them all the way through. I usually don't do a lot of old 50s stuff, but you know what? We're going to make up for that. We're going to do it. So we're gonna all next month we're gonna have all different things. We're even gonna have a director spotlight. I won't tell you who it is yet. I don't want to spoil the surprise, but it is a guy who made at least three horror films in the 50s that we're gonna watch. So it's all month, all 50s all the time. So remember, we watch bad movies so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard Scene. Have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new.